Jim, you were at a bachelor party on Friday night.
Yeah, it was a weekend-long thing. Friday, Saturday, and then the Saturday afternoon, the guys were going curling up north, like near Owen Sound, not too up north. Tiny Ontario is like the town it was closest to.
Tiny Ontario.
I know, eh? There's a place up there called like Tiny Township, too. I don't know what the name Tiny, if that's somebody's last name or if that's, it literally means tiny, but.
So you drove all that way just for Friday night, because I know you had to come back for your improv show on Saturday.
Yeah, and my buddy drove up to my bachelor party, this bachelor party was
What's his name?
Benny Culligan. So he came up for one night because he had to work the one day, so I thought I'd do the same for his. So I'm driving home Friday morning. There's like 20, 25 guys. I pull up to the cottage by myself. I drove the 4 hours by myself so I could leave in the morning. And there was no room left in the laneway. So I kind of like park on the shoulder and kind of on the lawn a little bit. And then I'm just, anyway, Friday morning, I wake up early. I got to get back home. And about 2 hours into my drive, I see a text. And the bachelor, Benny, he posted another listing for another Airbnb, like a completely different property, like a 20-minute drive away. And I go, what's this all about? And then it's a couple other people who are just coming up on Saturday text and go, what, do we change locations or something? And yes, they had to change locations. The owner of the Airbnb came by and said, you said there was going to be this many people here. Why is the laneway filled overflowing with trucks and vehicles? There's too many people at this place. Booted everybody out. So then these guys had to last minute call up another Airbnb homeowner to last minute try to move parties to another location. So I don't know if they had the cameras up, set up outside, and they were noticing that there's way too many people there, or if the neighbors were calling up the actual homeowner.
Whatever happened, it sounds like it's your fault for parking on the grass. It was just one, your car was that one car over the line,
it
Jim.
It might have been, I
you
don't know.
You ruined it for everybody.
There was no
and then you leave and they're all
yeah,
screwed.
See you, boys.
We got to talk about Bruno Mars here. He's in some trouble, apparently, financial trouble. There's a story out there that he apparently owes $50 million in gambling debt.
Jeez.
And he's basically stuck doing his residency in Vegas. It was described as the MGM owns Bruno Mars at this point.
Okay.
So he has to stay and keep performing at the MGM because he has racked up so much gambling debt.
That's how it works. Indentured servitude. I mean, he could probably sell a few of his properties because I just looked up how much he's worth, $175 million. So it could be a lot worse. Like if he was like in a Nicolas Cage situation where he owes them a bunch of money and also broke.
Yeah.
Bad news.
You got to start selling your dinosaur heads.
Yeah. The last thing you want to get rid of.
Your dinosaur skeletons are suddenly on the auction block.
Yeah.
$50 million in gambling debt. That's, you wonder how he got there.
Yeah. I mean, I could see how I would get there, but I wonder like what was the biggest leap of debt he got into? Was there a situation where it was $1 million on one blackjack hand, he loses it and then says double or nothing or something, yeah. And then it kept on hopping
well,
up?
He was down $25 million and he said, you know what? I'm just going to one spin of roulette.
Yeah.
I'm going to put $25 million on red.
I'm good
and
for
if
it.
I hit, all my debts paid off.
Yeah.
And suddenly you're down $50 million.
Not the type of people you want to be in debt to. The casinos, they don't just let you get away with it.
You haven't seen the Elvis movie, right?
No.
That was speculation. One of the reasons that Elvis was in Vegas for so long, not because he had a gambling problem, but because his manager, Colonel Tom Parker, played in the film by the incomparable Tom Hanks.
Mm-hmm.
He apparently was in debt to the casinos, so he did everything in his power to keep Elvis from going out on tour elsewhere. He wanted to keep him in Las Vegas so he could pay his debts off.
Okay, so this is why U2 was at the Sphere for a year. Okay, Bono. Played too much Baccarat.
Too many parlays that didn't hit, eh, Bono? We got a photo sent to us here. It says, hey guys, any of you want a free hot tub? This is in London, Ontario, apparently, over the weekend, Jim.
Yeah, apparently there's one blowing down a rural street, or I should say a suburban street, more or less, in the suburbs. One is, it's been blowing on its side. So it's like rolling like a hamster wheel almost.
A round hot tub on its side rolling down the middle of the street.
Now, I can't tell if it was in somebody's backyard and the wind picked it up and moved it because the sides of it look like they're already off. A lot of times they have wood paneling around the side. The wood paneling appears to be off and you can see the insulation and the guts of it. So I think maybe somebody put it on the end of their laneway to get it, either have the garbage guys take it away or take it away themselves eventually, but it's rolling down the middle of the street over the weekend.
It wasn't that windy over the weekend. You're not going to blow a hot tub, especially one full of water.
No, definitely
onto
not.
Onto its side.
Definitely not.
Start cheese wheeling. I'd be tempted, though, to try and sit in that thing, you know, and get your buddy to push it.
So oh, and it's on its side.
Right, the tub spins around. See how many rotations you can last.
Like the tractor wheel down a hill.
Right.
Yeah, we used to do that a little bit, but it'd be the tractor wheel inner tube. My grandpa used to have a tire shop in my hometown, and so we had all these old inner tubes. And on the beach at my grandpa's cottage, you would sit in the middle.
Sit in the middle, and someone would push it.
Yeah, and then it would roll down the sandy hill into the lake.
And it always seemed like a great idea until he started picking up speed. And you're like, ah!
And also those tractor tires, they have that nozzle on it, that big like 3-inch nozzle to fill the air in. So you get that in your spine, yeah, in the eyeball.
Well, try it in a hot tub, Jim. Rolling down the road over the weekend in London, Ontario. Cops in Minnesota got a report last Tuesday of an elderly man walking down the side of the road with a shotgun. They called it into the cops. Cops showed up. It turns out this guy was just getting his daily walk in, and he had the headphones on, and he picked up a stick, and he was doing air guitar with it.
So he wasn't cocking the gun. He was just going up and down the fretboard.
He was carrying a shotgun. He was rocking out with a stick.
Slides.
And so initially he had tried to hide the stick from police because he was embarrassed. They're like, what were you doing? He's like, nothing. And then he eventually came clean and said, okay, I have I had my stick in my hand. And I was playing air guitar while the car drove past me. No word on what song he was listening to.
Oh, man. Sawed off shotgun. Glorious Sons.
Smoke on the water.
Yeah. How would you not? Like, if you truly thought it was somebody with a gun, you'd think you'd take a closer look just in case.
Yeah. Maybe. But
but I bet he was probably both playing air guitar and using it as a gun. You know, when you're a kid, you pick up a stick that looks like a gun.
There's a lot of sticks that look, you have the little handle coming down.
Officer, I see him. He's carrying a shotgun. Now it's a sword. Now it's a lightsaber. Quick, get over here.
Now it's an air guitar. Devin Peacock is our sports guy. He's here with us. And we are on the cusp of March Madness being underway. This is exciting. College basketball play-in tournament starts tomorrow, right, Dev?
Yeah, so the selection Sunday was yesterday. They have announced all the 16 seeds for the four different regions. UConn, Houston, Purdue, and North Carolina are the number one seeds. What happens now is you've got the first four. So for the next 2 days, they'll have the first four games to decide two 16 seeds and two number 10 seeds. Then Thursday and Friday is when everything begins.
That's kind of fun, huh?
I get it for the 16 seeds. It would be it's tough to be the 10 seeds, and just the way it's the luck of the draw, where the way they make up the bracket, you're potentially on the bubble on the outside looking in. So you got 12 seeds, 13 seeds, 15 seeds. They're locked and loaded, but you got a couple 10 seeds that the ball bounced the wrong way, and now they could be out before it even begins.
It is really crazy watching this tournament, how one shot, like so many games are just decided by one half-court shot. Every year, the competition is that close.
Well, you look at, so one of the number one seeds this year, Purdue, last year, they became the second number one seed to lose to a 16 seed.
That's
so
right.
If you go back to 2018.
Love when that happens,
Virginia
though.
Was a number one seed. They lost. The next year, I correctly picked Virginia to win it all.
That's right.
Purdue be this year's Virginia and rebound from the embarrassment of losing to a number 16 seed. On Purdue, you have a Canadian, Zach Edey. He's 7'4", 300 pounds. He is averaging over 20 points a game, 12 rebounds a game. He is the guy for Purdue here. And so he is going to have the weight of the entire university on his shoulders as they try to become national champions.
Now, obviously, we can't fill out your bracket completely until we know who wins the play-in, but is Purdue your pick? Is Purdue your favorite to win the tournament, Dev?
Purdue is not my... They are my rooting team just because I want to see a Canadian do well. But UConn won it last year. They are favored to win it again this year. We have not had a repeat champion since the Gators, Florida Gators, 2006-2007. UConn is just really, really, really good. I'm really looking at UConn right now to be potentially making history as a back-to-back champion.
Okay, fill out those brackets. Maybe I'll get my daughter, Amelia, to fill out a bracket. I'll get her to write all the winners with a rock on the side of my car in the paint. But we'll get your full bracket Wednesday. The tournament officially starts. We'll know by then who Devin Peacock is going with. Sounds good. Thanks, buddy.
Ka-ka!
Need your help here if you've got kids. Because in the Taj household, we're trying to solve a mystery.
Okay.
On the weekend, I was getting out of my car and I noticed that on the back driver's side door, somebody had, it looked like they took a rock and they decided to do a little artwork on the side of Daddy's car with that rock.
So not just a line, not an accidental scratch?
It's you can't make out what it's supposed to be, but it's a number, it's an abstract. A number of scratch marks, clearly.
Okay.
In the side of the door, right near the door handle, that weren't there before. So my suspicions instantly went to my children, right? My 4-year-old daughter, Amelia, and my 7-year-old son, Grayson. And I asked them, who did this? And they are both pointing the finger at the other. So I've tried questioning them separately. But they're both standing firm saying, no, it wasn't me, it was Grayson, or no, it wasn't me, it was Amelia. So I started thinking, how can I get them to tell the truth on this? And I was putting Grayson to bed last night, and I told him, I said, well, buddy, I'm just going to check the security camera footage from the garage, and I'll know who did it, so I hope you're telling me the truth. And he said, is there a camera in the garage? I'm like, yeah, of course there is.
How good is it?
It's super high quality. I'll know if it was you or your sister. And he said, no, it was you. What will I see on the video, Grayson? You'll see Amelia with the rock scratching your car. Okay.
How'd you know it was a rock?
So I told him this last night. He just called me to ask if I've watched the video yet. Suspicious?
Just out of curiosity?
The first thing he does when he wakes up, he calls me and says, Daddy, have you watched the video yet? I said, what video? I'd forgotten about it. He said, from the garage. Do you know who scratched the car? I'm like, I haven't watched it yet, buddy, but who am I going to see on there? He said, Amelia. I'm like, okay.
Did you say you can't do this? You can't go to baseball or hockey until I check the footage?
No,
because he's trying to get... Okay.
I didn't threaten him. Because the last thing I want to do, Jim, you know me, I love my true crime shows, my Dateline NBCs, all that, so I watch a lot of police interrogations. The last thing I want to do is coerce a false confession out of my kid because I've threatened him with not getting treats or playing with his friends or going to hockey, right?
Mm-hmm.
You can't threaten like that.
Yeah, yeah.
But I don't know what else to do to get them to just admit who did it.
So now you're in a tough spot.
Yeah, what do I do now?
Yeah, yeah.
Do I punish both of them?
Yeah, you say the video evidence was inconclusive.
I'm trying to figure out which one of my two children took a rock to my car and scratched a whole bunch of paint off the side of the back driver's side door. They're both pointing the finger at each other. Mm-hmm. My son says that his sister Amelia did it. Amelia says it was Grayson.
Yeah, of course.
I've been trying to get a confession out of both of them, but they're tough-willed. So I'm asking, how do you get your kids to tell you the truth? Tiny, you've got a suggestion?
You basically wait for them to grow up. When they're about 18 or 19, they'll confess. They just tell you all the dirt. That's all you can do. That's it. That's the only play.
Yeah, so you hold a grudge for 11 years.
Yeah. And then they just come out. When they're like 18, 19, they get some kind of guilt that comes over them. They tell you everything they did when they're little.
Thank you for the advice. I think it's a long wait. Hello, Taz and Jim.
Hey, good morning. You're having an issue with some scratched up cars?
Yeah, some sneaky kids, too.
So my buddy's had a similar problem with one of his kids. What worked for him is he told him that grandma really liked it and wanted to know if they could draw her another one.
Reverse psychology.
So, and then the kid, if you give them credit for it, like, wow, I really like this artwork you drew on the side of my car with a rock. Who did this? Yeah. I want to give them a prize.
Yeah, the prize that he gave his kids was cleaning the tiles with a toothbrush in the kitchen.
Cleaning the grout with a toothbrush. Great punishment. Yeah. Thanks, man. We got some text messages here. My neighbor's kid did the same thing to my car. Used a rock and wrote on the side of my car, but I knew exactly who it was because he wrote his own name.
Yeah.
He was about 4 or 5. I kind of think Grayson is old enough to know that he'd get in big trouble if he did that. So that's why my suspicion initially was the young one.
Yeah, but sometimes your hands do things and your brain doesn't think about it. Like one time I remember my dad's truck, I pushed in the cigarette lighter thing.
Yeah.
And then it turned red and then he started coming in from like the TSC store. And I was like, I didn't know what to do with it. So I pushed it against the dash thinking that it would go out, but it just burnt a big hole in the dash. Sometimes kids aren't thinking, you know what I mean? Like,
and did your dad know it was you?
Right away, honestly. Like, because there was
car smelled like melted plastic when he got into it.
There was a snowmobile magazine, and I just delicately put it over top of where the burn hole was. Then the first corner he took, it fell off, and the charade was over.
Tell the kids whoever was messing with the paint will end up with paint color on their hands. It'll get worse after a couple days, so their hands are going to reveal who did the deed.
Interesting.
Watch for which one of them starts washing or tries to hide their hands.
And when they're sleeping at night, just put a little black finger nail polish on it.
Would you like to be on a boat? Not just any boat, but the Titanic. Jim?
No, thanks.
You're pretty excited about this one?
No, I'm good.
Titanic 2. Mm-hmm. And we're not talking about a sequel to the film. They are doing a sequel to the actual boat. Making a new Titanic, apparently. There's a billionaire who has been spearheading this project. A mining tycoon. And he's been trying to get investors so he can rebuild the Titanic.
Let it go, guys. You can build a big boat. Just don't call it or associate it with the Titanic.
Yeah, no, they want like a full-on replica of the Titanic with all the wood and like dressers in the cabins, wooden dressers, you know, old-timey.
Yeah,
with the dining room.
Sure, it's like a Renaissance fair on the water.
The violin guys on the deck doing the songs.
It's just not only did the boat sink, just the submarine went down to find it after, and the submarine blew up. Like I'm not saying it's cursed, but it feels
curse-ish.
We're getting a little close to cursiness, I would say. Even if you don't believe in those things, it's just not a good omen to call it the Titanic 2 or whatever.
They are saying that the maiden voyage could be as early as 2027. They haven't started building yet. They don't have a place to build the ship at this point, but they are excited to get it back out there on the water. Titanic 2.
Yeah, yeah. And they're saying it's going to be even far superior than the original. Well, I hope so. That one sank. I mean, it wasn't necessarily its fault, but it was touted as being unsinkable, and it obviously wasn't.
You know, when they make these sequels, oftentimes, this time it's personal. So maybe Titanic 2, the goal is this thing is just going to spew so much pollution Like, it's going to run on coal.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Have smoke coming out of the back of it just to increase global warming. And then who's going to have the last laugh?
Yeah.
Icebergs.
Yeah, good luck with this one.
Titanic 2 for the win. We've got a call here from Tristan. What's going on?
Not too much. I just heard you guys talking about the Titanic 2 there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's been a while in the making, man. I remember, I'm just a young guy, I'm 21, and I just remember in grade 6 they were talking about it, so like 2012.
Let me ask you this one. Tristan, you have the opportunity to be on the maiden voyage for Titanic 2. Are you going on the boat?
I think I'm doing it, Taz. I think I'm doing it. Yeah. Immortalized.
They sunk the first one, so they're not really due for another sinking. You know what I mean?
Yeah, for sure. For sure, man.
Like Titanic 5 or 6, maybe that one will sink as well, but hopefully we get at least a couple Titanics that stay afloat.
I'm thinking of sequels, and the plot usually happens roughly the same way. They're going to hit something. And weirdly enough, the public is going to be watching this whole voyage, and if they don't sink,
everyone's going to be a little disappointed.
It's like going to a NASCAR race and there's zero crashes. Like, obviously, you don't want anybody to get hurt, but deep down inside, we kind of want to see it sink, right?
Well, I'm sure they'll have more life rafts this time.
That's the thing.
I hope, right?
Hi, it's Shauna, and I might be a bad parent because my kids think french fries are vegetables.
Hey, it's Ryan, and I might be a bad parent because I went out for wings when my wife was in the hospital after giving birth.
Johnny here. I might be a bad parent because in my house, the tooth fairy gives pocket change.
But we're not alone. Len emailed us and said his 6-year-old daughter's Tarzan moment going from love seat to lazy boy by curtains made him more proud than any dance recital.
And Andy left his 2-year-old at the rink. All right, guys, I'm sure we're not alone. Like Andy's kid.
For stories and confessions like this, make sure you check out our podcast.
It's called Bad Parents, and it's available wherever you get your podcasts.
I left a glove at the rink.